Support for UpToDate is provided by Geisinger, providing world-class care for our community, here, where it matters.
Hello and happy Monday. Welcome to UpToDate from WVIA News. I'm Sarah Cinto, here to get you caught up on all the news you should know about. Today, you've probably heard of travel nurses, but what about travel school nurses? And we're celebrating Black authors for Black History Month in the latest bookmarks. It's Monday, February 23rd. Let's get you up to date. First, we'll celebrate the New Year. Last week began the Year of the Horse in the Lunar New Year tradition. The University of Scranton hosted a celebration for the New Year on Thursday. As WVIA's Kat Bolus reports from the event, traditions vary throughout countries in East Asia.
Dr. Ann Peng White wished everyone a galloping year with lots of prosperity, good health, and forward-looking progress and movement.
Happy New Year. Happy New Year.
Peng White is the director of Asian Studies at the university. She also teaches philosophy. Lunar New Year, often called Chinese New Year, is celebrated throughout Asia. When it falls depends on the moon, which guides the traditional Chinese calendar. The Chinese zodiac assigns an animal and its attributes to each year. The animals are also paired with an element. So 2026 is the year of the fire horse.
So it's supposed to be a year that brings lots of opportunities. Don't be too timid, but just be careful and cautious.
Qi Yi Wu is a visiting instructor from Taiwan. People are given red envelopes during the new year, often filled with money.
So there's a unspoken rule in Taiwan. If you want to get a red envelope, you have to say 新年快乐,恭喜发财, means a happy new year, and I wish you have a good fortune.
New Year celebrations typically last 15 days. In Scranton, I'm Kat Bolus, WVIA News.
Thanks, Kat. Find more of this story at WVIA.org. Now, like I said before, you've probably heard of travel nurses before, but how about traveling school nurses? A new travel school nurse program aims to ease a shortage in Lackawanna County schools. WVIA's Sarah Hofius Hall has more.
Teresa Cesarini works as a travel school nurse. She takes a short break from helping students at Dunmore High School.
School nurses are a very integral part of the education that kids are getting because they not only come in for meds, they come in for support.
Tomorrow, the nurse may be needed in a Scranton school. Back in Dunmore, or at another school in the region. With a shortage of school nurses, Cesarini always finds a placement.
Every day, yeah, which I love.
The Moses Taylor Foundation partnered with the Northeastern Educational Intermediate Unit to launch the Travel School Nurse Pilot Program this school year. Cesarini is the first in that role. The foundation worked with the Center for School Health Innovation and Quality to more closely examine the issue. Of school nurses in the region, 89% stated they did not have adequate school nurse substitutes.
Sometimes they wouldn't take days off because of the moral distress it put on their fellow coworkers or the school, and there just weren't the substitutes.
That's Aaron Mon, director of the center. Christine Marcos, senior program officer of the Moses Taylor Foundation, said school nurses do more than send sick kids home, distribute bandages, or check for lice.
But the role has become so much more complex than that in terms of, you know, managing children with chronic conditions like diabetes and asthma. The mental health piece has become huge.
The report found that when there's no substitute nurse, more than half of the time school staff are pulled from other buildings. In nearly one-fifth of the cases, nothing happens, and a school is left without coverage. Carrie Labarante is a nurse for the intermediate unit. She coordinates the pilot project.
Hopefully, it will prove to be beneficial.
The ultimate plan is that school districts will be willing to maintain the travel nurse position after the three-year pilot. Reporting from Dunmore, I'm Sarah Hofius Hall, WVIA News.
Thanks, Sarah, for that story. Stay with us. There's more Up to Date after this break.
I'm Roger Dupuy from WVIA News. If you haven't already, sign up to get our free newsletter, WVIA News Notes. It's delivered right to your email inbox each Tuesday and Friday mornings. Go to WVIA.org and click on newsletters to subscribe.
Welcome back. Now it's time for me to add to your to-be-read pile. Here's the latest edition of Bookmarks. February is Black History Month, and while I hope you're reading a diverse array of authors all year long, now is the time to highlight some Black authors writing powerful and illuminating work across genres. From nonfiction, memoir, and historical fiction, let these recommendations help you learn more about Black history and voices.
It's your favorite host, Amber Viola, and for this beautiful Black History Month, I would recommend the book Black Patient, Performance, Civil Rights, and the Unfinished Project of Emancipation. This book is written by Julius B. Fleming Jr. The very first sentence of the book says, "The history of Blackness is at once a violent history of waiting and a radical refusal to wait." I could not recommend this book any more. Go read it.
My name is Brenda K. Johnson. I am a retired Army officer and president of the Lackawanna County NAACP. My book recommendation for Black History Month is New York Times best-selling author Clay Kane's Burned Down Master's House, a novel. Each strong character has a story of survival, passing down verbal history, and teaching how to survive and remaining whole while burning down anything holding you back.
Hello, my name is Jennifer Powell. I am the owner of Breathe Love, which is a company that hosts I Love Myself workshops. I am also the owner of Jams Delights, which is a vegan, gluten-free cookie company. I recommend the book Feeding the Soul because it's my business by Tabitha Brown. Her experiences I can relate to 100% in terms of just her abilities that she has and ailments that she has experienced in her way of life, her journey. She is a person that is resilient and gives great nuggets on how to navigate this world when things come your way unexpectedly.
Hi everyone, Sarah Cinto here with my pick for the week. I only recently picked up The Reformatory, but I'm so captivated by this novel already, I could not help but recommend it, even though I haven't finished it yet. This is historical fiction, set in segregated 1950s Florida. When 12-year-old Robbie Stevens Jr. kicks the son of a white landowner in defense of his older sister Gloria, he's sentenced to 6 months at Gracetown School for Boys, otherwise known as the Reformatory. The Reformatory itself would be scary enough, but Robbie also has a talent for seeing haints, or ghosts, and they reveal to him the decades of horrors inside the walls. I'm listening to this on audiobook, and the narrator is fantastic, but the writing is so transportive and immersive, I feel every ounce of Robbie's fear and Gloria's desperation for justice for her little brother. I already know this book is going to be one that sticks with me for a long time. That's all for this edition of Bookmarks. Join us again on March 7th. I'll be looking for your favorite books about sports. Want to talk about a book you love? Email me at sarahcinto@wvia.org with bookmarks in the subject line. All right, one last thing for you today. Let's take a look back at This Week in History with WVIA's Julie Sidoni.
This Week in History, a brief look at some of the biggest happenings here at home and around the world, February 23rd through March 1st. In 1806, this is the week Williamsport becomes a borough. It'll be another 60 years before it's named a city. 1951 in Wilkes-Barre, 8 jazz bands come together for a concert and end up forming the country's first jazz festival called the Cavalcade of Dixieland Jazz. This week in 1945, Marines take the crest of Mount Suribachi during the Battle for Iwo Jima, and several work to hoist the U.S. flag. A Marine photographer captures what turns out to be an iconic photo. And in 1954, school children in Pittsburgh are the first to receive a new polio vaccine developed by Dr. Jonas Salk. Eventually, the vaccine reduces polio cases 99% worldwide. That's This Week in History. I'm Julie Sidoni, WVIA News.
So, how are we feeling? All caught up and ready to start the week? Find more stories at WVIA.org. I'm Sarah Cinto. Thanks for joining me today. If you want to stay in the know, make sure you subscribe and tune in every weekday wherever you find your favorite podcasts. Enjoy your Monday, everyone. I'll catch you tomorrow, right here on Up to Date.